Monday night, Or LeGimel Tammuz, and we just found out a few minutes ago that the three children we've been praying for the last 3 weeks were found murdered and mutilated. So we're going to pause from our regular learning and discuss for a few minutes how the halacha views what happened tonight. So maybe we should start with a few things that are obvious, and then go on to a few other things. We all prayed on their behalf and on Shabbos as well, because the halacha says that when a danger happens to a community, so that community has to pray. If someone from the community is being chased by a mob or is out at sea and you see the ship is in danger of being crashing onto the rocks, so the community stops what they're doing on Shabbos. They all get together in shul and pray. Obviously, if they could help them, they help them. But if they can't help them, so they get together and pray. So we have a mitzvah to pray on behalf of those who we know, those who are close to us. In this case, these three children were close to all of us. We all knew who they were. And the fact that we all knew who they were was the first reason why what was happening to them was relevant to all of us, and we all prayed on Shabbos and on weekdays. And the second reason is probably the obvious reason, that we all know that they weren't kidnapped for any personal reasons. They were kidnapped because there was a desire to kidnap Jews. And so this was an act against all of us. It wasn't an act against those three individuals. It was an act against Klal Yisrael. And so when we discover now that they were murdered, that was a murder against Am Yisrael. It wasn't an individual act against individuals. It was an act against us as a people. And so our prayers until now were on behalf of three representatives of the Jewish people, and now the shock and the pain is not only over three children that were murdered, it's over the recognition that Am Yisrael lost three souls that represented Am Yisrael. Now, there are two planes, there are two angles of viewing this. There's the national angle. If I were prime minister, what would I do? A lot of people are going to be busy discussing that tonight, but there's only one prime minister here, so that's his job to figure out. A lot of people will think what the prime minister should be doing, and everyone's entitled to spend their time as they please, but I don't really see why that's so relevant to us. I do think that we should think what we take away from this. Where do we go from here? Because very often things shock us and we have strong emotions, and then within a day or two we wait for those emotions to pass and we move on. If we look at what happened as a national event, so then the nation has to learn something from it. So some people will placate themselves with saying, well, yeah, the nation should attack like this, and the army should do like that, and obviously the political views should have all along been this way or that way or the other way. Everyone will see this as supportive of their cause. The left will say, you see, how dangerous it is to continue having the right, and the right will say, you see that you have to be more right, and that this is what being left produces, and we'll all entrench ourselves further, and life will go on, and nothing will have been learned. But it shouldn't be that way. We have to stop and think for a minute. Okay, something happened to Klal Yisrael, and we're a part of Klal Yisrael. They were a part of Klal Yisrael. They represented Klal Yisrael. So then, where do I move from here? What am I going to do to take them with me, that I'm going to say, okay, their lives were lost, and I will now become a better person. I will impact the world in a better way. Some of you may remember Kobe Mandel. He and his friend went out to play one day instead of going to school, and were caught, and they were mutilated, and their blood was squeezed out all over the walls of the cave. Their bodies were found in Tekoa, correct. They were tortured to death. So the mother, Mrs. Mandel, set up the Kobe Mandel Foundation. She took the pain and the the suffering that she went through and channeled it to a positive direction, a direction that propagates growth in Am Yisrael. We can't just let the emotions run wild and then move on. We should think of how to channel our emotions. How many of you wrote a letter to the UN? How come we didn't hear anything from the UN? How many of you wrote a letter to President Obama? Let's take small examples. Whatever country you come from, how come you have to ask yourselves, did you protest what's going on here? Are you expressing yourselves? Have you made any real moves other than expressing your frustration? Think about it. How do you channel your feelings positively? Obviously, it's painful. Obviously, we're saddened. But we also have to take those emotions and channel them. I gave small examples. I didn't mean specific examples. But I also want us to look at what Chazal tell us from a totally different perspective. I said there are two perspectives. There's the national perspective, but we also have to take on a different religious perspective as to where are their souls right now. How are we supposed to view this from a religious perspective? So again, people will focus tonight on the national perspective, on the political perspective, and that's also important. But here in Yeshiva, let's take another vantage point, which is supplementary. It's not contradictory to that vantage point. Let's begin with a story in Tractate Psachim. We have this story appears in a few places. Let's, do we have a Gemara Psachim here? No. Okay, so I'll work off the computer.
So what is the punishment against kidnappers? That's a little difficult to go through without the
honor. Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. You got a Gemara? Tada Alba. Our Gemara is in Tractate Psachim, Dafnon Amad Aleph, page 58. The Gemara tells us the following story. Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Yoshua ben Levi. Chalash. He became weak, he became ill. Veit Nagid. And he passed away. Stopped breathing. So he passed out. And then he came back. So he must have had his breathing stopped temporarily. Ki hadav. So when he came back, it was clear that he had been dead and came back. Amar le'avu amai chazit. His father said to him, what'd you see? Amar le'i, he said to his father, olam afu chayiti. I saw an upside down world. Elyonim lemata. I saw, when I went to the next world, I saw those that everyone valued in this world, the politicians, the ones that seem to be so powerful in this world, they're on the bottom in the next world. Vitachtonim, and the people that are on the bottom rung in this world, lemala. I saw them on top. He says, Dad, I went to the next world. You know, that beggar, you know, all those people that no one values in this world. They were on top, and all the people that are valued in this world, they were on bottom. I saw an upside-down world. Amar lo, he said to him, son, bini, olam baru ra'ita. You saw a clear world. You didn't see an upside-down world. There you saw clarity. Ve'anan heichi hatam ki heichi de'aitu anan hacha. He says to his father, I saw us, those that are learning in yeshiva, the same way we are here, that's the way we are there. Vishamati shayu umrim, and I heard them declaring in the world to come, Ashrei mi sheba lekan v'talmudo biyado. Praised is he who comes here and has his learning in his hands, has accomplishment to bring with him into the world to come. Vishamati shayu umrim, and I heard them saying, Harugei malchut, people that were killed by the Roman Empire out of anti-Semitism. En adam yachol la'amod bimchitzatan. No one can stand close to them. They're on such a high level, no one can come close to them. Maninu. So who were they talking about when they spoke about people who were murdered by the Roman Empire? Ilema Rabbi Akiva v'chaverav. If it's talking about Rabbi Akiva and the rabbis who were murdered with him, mishum ha'ogem alchut detulo. Their merit was that they were murdered for being Jews. Rabbi Akiva has many other merits. The whole Torah is based on him. He kept the Torah alive. Ela harugei Lud. No, it's talking about those that were murdered in Lud. Who were those that were murdered in Lud? So there was a story. The princess was found killed, and the Roman Empire said that they're going to kill the town that was next to where she was found dead. So these two brothers came and said, "We killed her." So the Romans said, "Okay, so we'll torture you guys to death, and we won't kill the rest of the town." And these two brothers were Pappus and Lulianus. Pappus is the famous Pappus whose son is well known as Yeshu. Well, it wasn't his son, but it was his wife's son. So Pappus and his brother Lulianus went in and said, "We did it," even though they didn't do it. And then they were tortured to death, and really the Romans, as they were torturing them, said to them, "We know you guys didn't do it." As they were enjoying torturing them to death, and they said to them, "Why'd you guys admit it?" And they said, "Well, God has lions and tigers and bears. He could kill us any other way. He decided to do it with another type of animal called the Roman Empire. So we would have died another way. And here we saved the rest of the Jewish town." And those are the people when they were killed just for being Jews, because the Romans knew they didn't do it. But they are the people that it says in heaven that no one can stand next to them. Now we know on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av, we will read now about the 10 martyrs, the 10 rabbis who were tortured to death by the Romans. They didn't do anything wrong. They weren't found guilty of anything. But they were tortured to death. And that's what we call in Halacha harugei malchut, people who were murdered by the authorities, which is another way of saying they were killed for being Jewish out of anti-Semitism, not for any sin that they've done. Yes? That deserves a longer class. I want us to look at the Medrash on the verse in Tehillim, which we quote on Shabbos, "Kidoresh damim otam zachar." He who seeks out blood remembers them. The Medrash says, what does it mean, lo shachach tzakat anavim? God doesn't forget the cry of the humble. Eino shochech daman shel Yisrael miyad umot haolam. God will not forget the blood of Israel that was spilled by the nations. Velo daman shel tzadikim bilvad, and not only the blood of those who were righteous when they were killed. Ela kol mi she'ne'erag bimei shmad. Anyone who was killed when they were out to get a Jew, what's called a shmad, or what we might call a pogrom, when they made decrees against the Jewish people for being Jewish, all of those are included in this. And then the Midrash goes on to discuss the 10 martyrs. There's a long story here we'll skip right now. We have a Midrash that everyone knows. We read it in the prayer of Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, why were the 10 martyrs, Rabbi Akiva and his 9 friends, tortured to death? This was a repayment to the Jewish people over the sin of the sale of Yosef. The baseless enmity that was there between Yosef's brother and him was a sin we would carry on with us. But the Medrash goes on. And there's a line, a very scary line in this Medrash. Amar Rabbi Avin. Rabbi Avin said, every generation has 10 people that are taken and killed for being Jewish. And that's going back to the sin of the Jewish people from the brothers of Yosef. It's not only the 10 martyrs. It's every generation has 10 like that. The work Tzror Hamor, a commentary on the Torah that was written by Rabbi Avram Ibn Yaakov Saba in Spain. He was a disciple of Yitzhak de Leon. He was expelled from Spain. He moved to Portugal. And then 5 years later was expelled from Portugal. And then he moved to Fez and Morocco. Two of his sons were kidnapped by Christians. And he himself had to bury the manuscripts of his work when he left Iberia, and spent the rest of his life mourning his two sons who were kidnapped. He never got them back. He wrote a commentary on Torah called the Tzror Hamor. And he writes the following. I don't know how far back to start. Vayashav Reuven el Abo. Reuven comes back to the pit after the sale of Yosef. And Reuven had known that the brothers want to kill Yosef. So how did he leave them? How did he leave Yosef with his brothers that were dangerous like lions and bears? If he were there, maybe he could save. Maybe out of respect for Reuven, they wouldn't have done anything to him. So really, Reuven left with a plan to come back at night and save Yosef from the pit. But Reuven really erred because he left. The sale of Yosef was able to transpire. And that's why Reuven comes back to the pit and he sees Yosef's not there. He tears his clothing. He says, oh no, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have left him here. He comes back to the brothers. He says, maybe they changed their mind. Maybe they took him out. Maybe they're giving him to eat. He sees he's not there. And he says to the brothers, Ayelet Einenu, the kid's not with you? He's not in the pit and he's not here? Where am I going to go from here? Why did I ever leave? I have a responsibility because I left. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Where can I carry my shame? I have nowhere to cover my sin. I should have stuck around. So he yells at his brother and says, Ani ana ani ba, where am I going from here? What am I supposed to do? He starts yelling at them and yelling at himself. And Hashem heard his cry. And our sages say, because of this cruelty that Yosef was sold by his brothers, 10 people have been lost from the Jewish people in every generation. 10 corresponds to all brothers, including Reuven. But Reuven wasn't there for the sale. Reuven himself held himself accountable. He says, how did I leave? So that's the Tzror Hamor's commentary. And he too goes with this opinion that every generation has to put up with this. He wants to say that when the brothers asked him to forgive them, they were asking him to forgive the sin because they knew it would be a stain on the Jewish people for generations to come. And if you look closely, Yosef doesn't forgive them. Yosef changes the topic. He says, of course, you know, I'm going to take care of you guys. And he never says, I'm forgiving you for what you did. So where does that leave us? So first, let's read the Rambam, because that brings us to the bottom line. The Rambam says like this. So I don't want to go into the Rambam here tonight. We're going to leave the Rambam for a different night. Okay, we just discussed the connection of the fact that generations have endured this type of atrocity, and in some way Chazal wanted us to see that as an offshoot of what happened between the brothers and Yosef. How does that answer anything? It doesn't. We weren't coming here to answer the question why it happens. At the end of the day, we have a question that's with us for life. God, who is good, created a world where there is also bad and evil and pain. And there are many answers at the end of the day. None of them are answers which we can really take home at night and sleep well with. The one answer that really is important, the other ones are also important, but there's one basic concept, and that is that Hashem is watching over the world and He has His decisions. We don't understand why. If Chazal tell us that at the root of 10 people being murdered in each generation is a baseless hatred that started with the Jewish people in the days of the brothers and Yosef, it seems that Chazal meant that it continues with us. That part of why we have to endure such things is because that baseless hatred is something that lingers within the Jewish people. And we tonight were all aching. The Medrash says on the verse in the Song of Songs, God says, I will go down to the garden and pick from the roses. So Chazal say that sometimes there's a punishment that the Jewish people deserve, and then God says, instead of punishing everyone, I'm going to pick a rose from the cherished ones. And that's in a way that instead of the people as a whole being punished, there's an individual that when he passes, it's as though everyone suffers from it. There's no question that everyone hears from this and everyone feels the pain. We have to channel it in a positive direction. Yes, something evil happened. We discovered it tonight. And now the question is, where do we go from here? So one angle we say, God has His calculations, we don't know what they are. But there's another angle, and we say, wait, why does every generation have people who suffer? Chazal pointed us back to Yosef and his brothers, and if you notice carefully, even at the Seder night, when we speak about the history of the Jewish people, we're always coming back to Yosef and his brothers. How do we start the Seder? We start the Seder by having an open invitation. Anyone hungry, come on in. We don't ask him, are you wearing a kippah struga, a black hat? Do you vote Shas, Aguda, or Bait Yehudi? We say a very open statement. We say, is anyone hungry? You could come join us for the meal. We start the Seder, when we speak about what it means to be a Jew, we start the Seder by fixing what happened between Yosef and his brothers, by saying, I'm going to accept the fellow man and welcome him to my table, and not ask any questions beyond that. We have to move forward from tonight, and we have to think of a few things. A very sad and tragic thing happened here, and the politicians have to figure out what the response has to be. If there'll be a protest rally, whatever, maybe we'll partake in that. If you think you can do something practical, do it. When I was a kid, they used to have an advertisement, don't just sit there. I don't know if that still exists. So I think it's an important thought. Do something positive. Write a letter. Post something. But something real. Not just on Facebook, hey, it's sad tonight. Do something real with your time. How do we understand that God lets such things happen? That goes back to the basic question, why God lets evil happen in the world. We need whole classes on that. But one of the messages we should take moving forward is that Chazal tell us it's evil has a chance to pick up its head when the Jewish people are divided and when the Jewish people have the divisiveness that has its roots back in the days of Yosef and his brothers. And I think that's something which you didn't need me for. Anyone who looks around knows that we're sorely in need of unity. And if we're thinking of where to move forward with this, so that's something every person should think about. I guarantee you that everyone will be displeased with what the politicians do next. Guaranteed. Tomorrow, the next day, there's nothing they're going to do you're going to be happy with. But it's up to you whether you will be pleased or displeased with what you do next. It's not only a question of what they do. There's a basic concept that's elucidated in many works, among them the Nefesh HaChayim, and that's the idea that we're all connected. 2-3 weeks ago, we learned that piece from Rav Kook about how we're all connected. We learned this in Rav Moshe Cordoviro. This is a concept that appears in many works. So if we're aching and we feel like a part of us is missing, it's true. A part of all of us is missing tonight. Now the question is, what do we do with that? And if they were able to take a piece away, then we have to think how we can do something positive that's going to have a ripple effect of positive energy in Am Yisrael. And that's everyone's responsibility. It's very easy to walk away from tonight muttering what the government should do. Okay, I don't see that it'll impact anything. But you can do real things in the realm of what you write, what you do actively, and real things in the realm of what you do with the Jewish people. And here I just want to end with one point, Lucas. Very often you guys will feel that people look at you and say, you're the chutznik. You're the guy from Chutzlaretz. What do you understand? You're the guy from Chutzlaretz. I'll teach you a thing or two. It's true. We're not Israelis, most of us. But you know what? There are things that you bring in from Chutz La'aretz that Israelis can learn from Chutz La'aretz. Be it the courtesy or the acceptance or the valuing of a fellow Jew for the fact that he is a fellow Jew, irrespective of the divisive lines that are drawn in society here. These are things that we shouldn't be embarrassed about. On the contrary, these are things that we can help propel society forwards. We can help people see that this is the right way to be. And this is part of the Ahavat Yisrael that we should have. People come to Israel very often, they want to be Israelis. And that means sometimes you feel like you have to choose what type of yarmulke you wear, who you vote for. Where. Yeah, that's all true. But you don't have to choose who in Am Yisrael is part of Am Yisrael. We're all a part of one nation. And I think that's one of the messages we have to take forward from here. The importance, and we play a role in it. Dafka because we come from a place, everyone knows in Chutz La'aretz, things are far less divisive. You're a Jew, and there's far less divisiveness. And that's a message that we can carry forward. Yes?
I know you kind of know about this yet. I know you tend to have a way of finding things out. It's about the funeral.